started out with a leg to Denise while she was in the hospital. It was actually one that I wrote on the day that she passed, so I never got to mail it to her. She never got to hear it, the nurses read it to her. But I joked in the letter that maybe I'd use it as a sermon someday, and I guess that's it. It's basically centered around the seven I Am's of Jesus, the seven I Am statements, although I got eight or nine. So I don't know what that's about. And originally for Denise, it was encouragement scripture, just to have scripture read to her while she was in the hospital. Couldn't do anything else. But we're going to start in Exodus 3, 13 and 14. And that's just to get the basis for it. We're not going to stay there at all. We're going to go into Jesus and his name. Exodus 3, 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me to you. It's interesting, it's amazing that after that God chose that name for himself, because that means that he doesn't change. That means that he's timeless. That means that he's always here and always has been and always will be. Even in our past, he is. In our present, he is. And in our future, he is. Now let's turn to Jesus' first statement. In John chapter 6. I've been threatening to start using the tablet because it would be easier, but as Bob says, he likes to hear the turning of the vehicle.
We can do that.
Almost there. Okay, chapter 6, verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, talking about the manna, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that believeth in me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He is the bread of life. He is our sustenance, and it's neat that he included the water as well in this statement, because we don't not only need that sustenance, but we need that refreshing, that water, that we need it. The manna for nourishment and the water, but this is all spiritual. Let's turn back to Nehemiah in chapter 9, verse 13. And we'll talk about a little bit about the manna and then the water. They're all included. I'm sorry, chapter 9, verse 13. Talking about the history of Israel. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandments and precepts, statutes and laws, by the hand of Moses thy servant. And gavest them bread from heaven. for their hunger, and brought forth water from water for them out of the rock for their thirst. And promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hast sworn to give unto them. That bread that the Israelites ate in the wilderness with Jesus, and that water that came from the rock. From the rock. Catch that? The water that came from the rock was from him as well. The bread gives them sustenance, and the water quenches their thirst. And that's spiritual for us. He sustains us spiritually and gives us what we need spiritually, quenching our thirst. He is our bread and our water. We're never hungry and never thirsty. He provides for all our needs. Let's turn to... I did this in order as well, so it's kind of a theme today. Let's turn to John chapter 8. You probably want to keep your finger in John as we flip around a little bit. It will be coming back. John chapter 8, verse 12. And Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, and shall have the light of life. Of course, we know that Jesus is our light. He brings us out of the darkness. But we also know that the darkness doesn't always want to come out. People in darkness don't always want to come out. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Speaking of Jesus here, Isaiah said, the people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. That great light would be him. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them have light shined. And over in John 1, let's pop over there. Jesus is a great light in our darkness. Some of these scriptures, it seems like I always go to them, but they're so amazing. John 1, verse, starting with verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to the light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I think that's amazing, saying that everyone has a chance. It's not just those select, which some people teach. It's not just a chosen few. It's whosoever.
Amen.
But the darkness didn't know him. Even his people rejected him. And they would rather remain in darkness, at least for a time. Thank God, because that's our chance as Gentiles. He offered himself as our guide, a lamp to light our path. And so many people just don't think they need him. He is our light, though. He's our freedom from the darkness. And he illuminates our world and our eternity. Let's go a little bit forward to John 8 and 28. Next page for me. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, But as my father had taught me, I speak these things. I am he, he says. Who is he saying he is? When he says that, he's saying he's the Son, the Anointed One, and that he is one with the Father. But if we go down where we are right here, we can see even clearer what he's saying. Just down to John 8 and 51. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said unto him, "Now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death? Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out from the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. See, a lot of people try to convince you that Jesus never claimed to be God. There are a lot of religions even that just say, no, he didn't say he was God. He just said he was just a good man. But right here, the Jews knew exactly what he was saying when he said, "I am." He was saying he is God. And that's why they tried to stone him for blasphemy, because they knew he was saying he was God. And we should know it too. And everybody who reads this should know it from the context. Context. He is God come in the flesh, and he is the great I am. Going a little more forward into John 10. Start with verse 7. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and have that they might have it more abundantly." He is the door. He didn't say he is a door. He didn't say he was one of the doors. He said he is the door. Exclusively the door. And he is the only way in to rest and out again to pasture. There never will be another door. It's only him. Let's take a peek at Acts 4 and 12. Acts This speaks about Jesus being the only way to God. It says, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given unto men whereby we must be saved. None other. He's the door. Let's flip over to Timothy for another confirmation. 1 Timothy 2.
Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
You know the shepherd's staff has a little crook on the end and a long walking stick almost, but the shepherd also used it to pull the sheep back from the edge, the crook on it. And I think they used it, the length of it, to stop them when they were getting close to them as well. That's why they have such a comfort, because they protect us. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Even in the presence of our enemies, we can be safe with Christ, with the Good Shepherd. And I think the anointing the head with oil has to do with their health, keeping them from being sick, skin diseases and stuff like that. He cares about our health, and our cup runneth over. Again, he's providing for us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Of course, we know bad things happen. We know firsthand, all of us here. But he's still with us. It's just so amazing that he is that good shepherd, and he is with us. And we will be dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Let's go to John 11, 25 and 26. Let's see if I can get through this. This is a tough one. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I love how he asked Martha if she believed what he was saying. He is the resurrection and the life. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. Corinthians 15, 20, starting at 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, which when he shall have delivered out the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He has the power. He has power over death. When he raised Lazarus, he showed that. And when he, at the cross, he defeated and conquered death at the cross. It just doesn't know it yet. But at the end, he will totally destroy it. But he's already won. Even though we're still here, we're still mortal, we're still dying, because I think Paul says that the mortal can't inherit immortality. We have to be changed. And at the rapture, we will be changed if we're still here. And if not, we'll be changed with death. That's just the way it has to be, because of this curse that we're under. Let's go over to Matthew. Oh. In 1 Corinthians, it talked about the first fruits as well. Jesus being the first fruits. The first fruits was a time where the Israelites brought their harvest, the first fruits, the first things that they harvested in the year to God as a sacrifice. And Jesus is that first fruits of those who will die. He is our proof. He is our promise that we won't die and be left in the grave, that we'll come out to be with him as well. Let's turn over back to Matthew 28. 27. This is just a quick, kind of a quick aside about death and God's control over it. I don't completely understand these verses because Scripture doesn't go into very much detail. Verse 15. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints that slept arose and came out of the graves after the resurrection and went to the holy city and appeared unto many. So Jesus is the first fruits, and that his power, the saints came and were a witness to him, to the people in Jerusalem after he was risen. I remember I wrote a devotion years ago, and it included a fictional story about a man who was at his house, and he heard, it would have been the day that the resurrection had happened that Sunday, probably in the evening. He heard a knock on his door, and there was somebody at the door, and it happened to be his uncle, who had died about 33 years ago. And this, of course, this is not Bible, but this is based on the Bible. People went into the city, the saints went into the city and proclaimed the glory that God had risen them, that God had made a way for them, and that he was the first fruits of our forever. He is our resurrection. Let's turn, I didn't know if I was going to do this, but let's turn to John. I wrote it down, so let's turn to John 3. Chapter 4, verse 14. Oops, we got this. We all know this scripture, John 3, 14 through 16. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He is our life, both now and for eternity. Let's go to John 14 now. Starting with verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. I'm noticing, even now, as I study, but even now, I'm looking at it and noticing how much he is the life, and also how much he is the power over the conqueror of death. Let's turn over to Psalm 85. Let's start with verse 7. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again in folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. His path, his steps. The way is that path, the road and the journey that we travel with him. He is the way. The truth is the word of God, the Bible, from the faithful one. And the life is the same word that he just used when he spoke about Lazarus, when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He is our life. He is our way, we walk in him. He is our truth, we believe in him, and he is our life, we live in him. And let's move to John 15, 1 through 8. The next page, maybe for you. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth it, that it may bring forth fruit. That's neat. The ones that don't bear fruit will be taken away. The ones that do bear fruit will be cared for. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Amen. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. He is the true vine, again our nourishment. It kind of harkens back to where we started with the bread and the water. He nourishes us, and he cares for us, and he strengthens us. He quenches our thirst. Same thing with the vine. That sap that flows through it is what does that for the plants. Let's turn to Psalm 92. Shall flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that he planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. to Shubet, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. He is our nourishment, our life. He sustains us. He's our life's blood. He's our rock. I like that there too. He is the vine. He provides everything for us. And there's one more place I want to go to. And that's going to be back a little bit in Matthew. At the end, it's Matthew 28. Saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So he is our bread. He is our light to light our path. He is our God. He is the door that brings us to the Father. He is the Good Shepherd taking care of us. He is our resurrection and our life. He is our way, our truth, our love. He is our true vine, giving us everything that we need. He is our always.